galacticconnection.com, one of the most popular blogs on the World Wide Web today for alternative news. Stay tuned for the latest information on our world shift from enslavement to galactic involvement, as well as current intel on any blockages impeding us from our sovereign birthright. Knowledge and self-mastery are key at this time. Our commitment is to present you with the latest breaking conspiratorial articles, off-world messages, exopolitics, cutting-edge technologies and sciences, and also an ever-significant intertwining of spiritual support and metaphysical scope that one needs to dive down the rabbit hole and search for truth with balance. We are truly on the horizon of a new golden age filled with the promise for more love, worldwide peace, and accelerated intuitive skills, where every living being can exist in cohesion and abundance. It is whatever we envision and dream this new world to be. I say to you now, let's redefine the new world to the beginnings of our own precious heaven on Earth. Galactic Connection is here to provide the pulse of Mother Earth through an eclectic range of interviews each Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4:55 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Station 2 on BBS Radio, expanding your perspectives on how we can once and for all take back our freedoms, our joy, and our connection with our mighty I Am presence. Our intention remains true to connect hearts and minds everywhere in order to obtain global unity and galactic and universal acceptance. Our discussions will continue to cover anything to do with galactic society and our involvement with our galactic brothers and sisters. Our guests are experts in their fields, and our radio shows have been coined as some of the most thought-provoking out there. In addition to our daily blog, which runs 365 days a year, we also offer a realm of healing services such as our world-renowned implant removal processes, our spiritual past life clearings, our galactic violet ray alchemy from Alexandra, who shares in the lineage of Merlin, and other cutting-edge healing technologies. Check our site out at galacticconnection.com now. Sending you a wave of light, love, and inspiration, and a personal hug and thank you for listening to our Galactic Connection radio show and visiting our blog today. Hey everybody, this is Alexandra Metters of galacticconnection.com, and I just wanted to add a personal recording before John Rappaport comes on and just give you a couple of FYIs. I don't know if you guys have been noticing this, but for me, it's become very apparent that we are truly in an accelerated state of manifestation. And that manifestation can either be good, bad, or ugly, as they say. I noticed that when I really, really want something badly, it's happening. When I put my focus and direction in an area, it's happening, and I mean quickly. And I got to think about, you know, is that just me? I started talking to other friends of mine, lightworkers, etc., and people are all starting to notice this. Now, what I'm finding is that for those that maybe they just haven't done as much soul searching or maybe as much healing of the wounded part of yourself or what have you, I think what they're finding is that their lives are just out of control. Things are happening to them that are absolutely crazy. Everything from, you know, their car falling apart, to their relationships falling apart, to feeling very depressed, you know? I mean, just all kinds of bizarre things going on. And I just wanted to kind of remind everybody that we are really getting to that line in the sand where we're being called forth. Now remember, if you're listening to this recording, then you are obviously one of the more enlightened ones because you're listening to an alternative news broadcast, okay? And you're talking to someone like myself who's bringing forth anything to do with outside the general mainstream news. So It is our responsibility to remember that we are here to bring forth the new earth that we want. And the energies are really supporting us now. So that belief system of, you know, I don't have enough money, or I don't have enough support, or I don't have the relationship I want, or whatever it is that you're just not feeling fulfilled about, it's important for you to go within and say, you know what, I just got to get rid of that belief system. It's no longer serving me. As one of my master teachers taught me, when that thought comes into your head, just pop yourself right here on the third eye and send that thought away. Just literally send it away. Thank it. Say, I no longer am gaining any benefits from that. And this may take some training, but I've just been running into this with quite a few of the clients. When I make personalized remedies and oils, one of the parts of doing that is I automatically provide a phone review with the individual. And a lot of times I receive a lot of information and readings from guidance while I'm doing it. And I'm seeing that as a common denominator amongst a lot of us, that we're up against over and over again this wall of some sort of belief system. It could be anything. It could be like, I'm really good at gardening, but I don't do well in business. And I'm just challenging everybody out there to really think about your thought and belief systems, because even those are archaic, right? Those core systems that we've held on to that create our identity, create us into what we think we are and what we think we know we are, that kind of thing, those are really getting hit hard right now. And that's pretty normal. You know, allow this process to unfold, because it's doing nothing but purifying you and allowing you to just start all over again. You know, it's important for us to have the freedom to create a whole new foundation for ourselves. And that does entail our ego and our belief systems. So I really wanted to pass that on, because I just kept running into that a lot last week with my clients' calls. The other thing, as you all know, we do this major implant removal process. We've done thousands upon thousands across the world. We've become very, very well known for it. And despite all of the special encodements that Jerry and I provide, as well as the alchemy and just the different things that we provide, you know, we're very dedicated to the healers and practitioners, because we really feel like it's a pass it on kind of thing. And one of the things I really want to put out there is to remind all of you, please, 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 the healers of the world, we must unite. We must. And what I mean by that is just unite on the position of professionalism and supporting one another and seeing the good and the good intentions. And that means those that are good intended, okay? I just really feel it's important to remind all of us that we're in this together, and what they're going to get from our implant removal service is going to be uniquely different than another healing experience. And everything is all good. It's all part of people's path. I have some people write in and they'll say, oh, I went to this person and I didn't feel anything. And, you know, it was just a total drag because I was really disappointed. And I have written back and reminded them that, well, number one, did you have an expectation? Number two, that doesn't mean that nothing happened. Number three, maybe there's too many layers for you to be able to see, feel, or sense that something happened. Number four, there could have been a blockage. And regarding the implant removal itself, what I'm finding, I mean, I feel like I should write an ebook about implants, because, you know, we've just come across so many amazing stories. But one thing I want to remind everybody is, as the light continues to penetrate and access us more and more and more, what I'm finding is
I don't care what healer we're talking about, healer, shaman, whoever, okay? There is a level at which we can see and sense implants at a specific depth within the field of the body. Our bodies are so massive, our grids are so huge that, in my opinion, it is virtually impossible for us to be able to see. When I say us, I mean anybody on this planet, okay, especially in the 3D. It's virtually impossible for us to see every single solitary thing that your grid is carrying. And one thing that's become very, very obvious to me lately is the layering of the implanting. And they're so brilliant, those that were the powers that were, that they thought about that ahead of time too. So don't be surprised if you got rid of a whole round of implants and they definitely are serving you that they're gone. But you might have some other bizarre kind of different kind of implant pop up. And this happened to me just recently. And I removed it. So I just wanted to put that out there. And I always get a lot of really interesting emails from a lot of you healers out there, because you guys really give me a lot of food for thought. And so curious to see what you're finding, because I'm noticing just, you know, we're peeling away layers upon layers. We're talking ancient layers of stuff that we're dumping and getting rid of. The other thing I wanted to remind everybody with is, you know, when you're dealing in this type of world with implants and fragmentations and that sort of thing, you are just going to be receiving attention from those that don't want you messing with their enterprise. And we have a lot of interference. Galactic Connection definitely experience this on a regular basis, no matter how much protection work we do. And I just had to I have to share the story with you. I think it's kind of funny. I had a woman call me, and she only lives on the East Coast. So when we send out the package, it should be there in no later than 3 days. Okay. And she was talking to me about how badly she really wanted this done, and she couldn't wait for it to happen. And the implant started acting up, of course, you know, because they started feeling her intentions. And she said that she contacted me once the PayPal label was printed out, because it showed her old address, and she couldn't figure out how that happened. Because when we generate a shipping label, it comes right off the PayPal account information that you have put into PayPal. And she said she placed two orders that day, one with us and one with someone else. The order with someone else came to the correct location. Okay? The order with us on that same day was shipped to the old location. I just want to show you how cunning the interference is. Not only that, but instead of taking 3 days, her package ended up hopping up to New Jersey, Philadelphia, and a couple, I think another state before it actually landed to her location in the South. So it took 3 weeks to get there. And I just want to put a reminder out that we are in a lot better position now to command that this interference stop. So it's really important on the other person's end, if you're purchasing things like this from me or from anyone else, that you command that that interference be removed and that the package or service be delivered to you expeditiously and without any kind of interference. So there's just another FYI. There's all kinds of really cool stuff being delivered right now with Benjamin Fulford and a few others. You know, you have Veterans Today, which writes just some excellent articles. And the truth of the matter is, I'm really watching the old ways, the old cabal. It's starting to really crack. I mean, these cracks are getting really big. to the point where even the Saudis are now possibly kind of changing positions. The Israelis, or I should say Netanyahu and his group, are really starting to feel the effects of exposure. Bush and his clan and the bankers and the Rothschilds. I mean, there's just so much stuff coming out. Nothing can be hidden any longer. And I just want to remind people that at this hour, I think we're doing a lot better emotionally. But I think where we're still feeling a bit stuck is we just keep comparing, hey, I see that person and they have those skills and they're doing something I want to do, and therefore there's a feeling within me, if I see that, that I'm less than, or I'm screwing up somewhere, or I failed in some area, or there's a frustration because I can't somehow quite reach, you know, what I came here to do. And I just want to say to you that this is all a journey, and there are many of you out there that are doing so much more than you recognize. And your work on the inner plane is invaluable. The fact that I reminded a woman this week, when you're walking, you know, when she was walking into environments, she was such a bright light that she was literally changing them immediately, changing them vibrationally immediately. And she confirmed that, yes, indeed, they tell her a lot that, you know, she just brings this incredible joy to their life. Don't discount this kind of stuff. These are some of the reasons why you're here. These are some of the missions. We can't all be the same, and we can't all be here doing exactly the same thing, nor do we want to, right? We don't want to all be the same. We all have amazingly different assets and traits in which to bring forth. And so I just want to remind each and every one of you, whether it's going to a job where it's in the 3D and you're frustrated because you're super enlightened and you're really spiritual and you're in a place where people really aren't operating in that kind of ilk, you know, don't forget that that's probably a mission. You probably signed on for a contract to be there, either to bring more light, to increase the vibration, to expose something that has gone bad, to bring down something that's not serving the majority of the people there, depending on your personality and the level of which you're being involved. These are all very key ingredients, and you may be going through this and you want to write about it or talk about it or draw it or paint it or sculpt it. You know, there's a myriad of ways to bring forth more truth and light. So I just want to share that because I get upset that so many of you have spoken to me and you just don't see the magnificence in yourself. And how are we going to step into being the masters, the walking masters on the planet, if we don't get there? We got to get there. The other thing is, I just want to remind everyone that we are in a magical time. And one of the things that I had an aha moment about was, I think everyone's aware that I was contacted out of the clear blue to go and do a ceremony in Laguna Beach, California. And my responsibility was, quote, I'm using the word responsibility, so 3D, but anyway, my responsibility was to go and anchor the birth of the new earth. And I thought, wow, what an honor. This is incredible that I've been called forth to do this. And I ended up doing it even on my birthday. Well, what I didn't realize was how significant of a day that was. I have been, as you all know, pretty busy and a lot of irons in the fire, and we're working on a lot of stuff. But I just wanted to share with everyone, I was blown away by the things that were going on in the month of September and October. But just here's a few things I ran into. okay, you had the Rosh Hashanah and supposedly the creation of Adam and Eve. Okay. Now this goes back to the date of September 13th, which just, I've never shared this probably before, but I was born on the 12th and my dad was born on the 13th. And as you all know, he was a very special man for me, really, truly someone who helped me get where I am today. And there are so many dates and times wrapped around the month of September all the way through the 23rd. And something very major in my life happened on the 23rd as well. So I can feel it. But I just wanted to share that the 12th and the 13th was the eclipse with the new moon in Virgo. And I just happen to be Virgo. Isn't that interesting? Of course, you know what the Virgo represents, you know, all that good stuff. And I just thought the solar eclipse and the new moon in Virgo is actually opening up portals of potentiality for all of us. This is a very amazing manifesting time for us. What I just realized was that birthing was the ability for us to truly let go of the old, the karma, the karmic patterns that keep us holding on to things we don't like about ourselves, things we feel we haven't done enough of. I mean, come on, every one of us has something like that, you know. We're either not pretty enough or thin enough or smart enough or successful enough or make enough money or whatever, right? I mean, the list goes on. And so it's just so deep-seated. So I just wanted to share this with you because it kind of blew me away that on the 12th of September, the sun opposed Chiron, which is all about healing the wounds of the inner person, spirit, soul, etc. And it presents itself as the bridge between the past and the future. So there is this huge alchemical force going on of not only bridging, but also transforming and redirecting and recreating a whole new you. So do it, because this is a gift. This is truly a gift. And that's kind of what she showed me when I was in the middle of the ceremony. Was she held up this beautiful baby and she said, "See, here it is, the gift." And I was like, wow. So this is our chance, guys. This is it. We are truly on our way to a magical moment in history. And we're right on the front lines. We're super fully vested and involved. And it is our responsibility now to really hunker down onto the ability to see more clearly, to be really true to ourselves. I think a lot of you are noticing that too. I've talked to many of us where we're all feeling like we're being more honest about our feelings with people. Like, we can't stuff it anymore. We can't just do the polite etiquette thing anymore. But reviewing and relaying that information with kindness and gentility. I think that's what we're learning right now. And it's a really cool shift for humanity, but especially for us who are on the front lines, so to speak. I think we're going into completion, getting really complete with the old us and being really excited, open, being that new baby with those new eyes and seeing all the potential of the new you, because this is coming whether you like it or not. So you might as well be on board and be fully vested and bring forth what you want. Also, we're being recalibrated to these higher frequencies. And sometimes this cannot be so easy because we're all having like really weird sleep patterns. I think that's one of the comments I hear a lot of. We're all having a lot of frontal headaches, with the expansion of our brains, with the I keep getting there's a new acclimation of synapses, neurotransmissions, that kind of thing. A lot of that kind of work's being done on all of us, and we're getting downloaded, supposedly, cosmically. We're receiving a lot of that. Now, why is that? Because we are multidimensional beings who have actually believed that we were singularly dimensional in this 3D reality before we were enlightened. And now we're not just talking about, oh yeah, I'm a multidimensional being. We're now really starting to experience stuff multidimensionally way out there. And we're really starting to feel things and have to connect those dots. There's that separation is no longer applicable, you know, that perception that we've had. And so it's causing us to have to adjust the way we think about things and expand the way we think about it when we get hurt, when we get misunderstood. All of this month and September has been about the wounded inner child and the wounds that we've carried from many, many lifetimes. So do yourself a favor and allow this to just fall away. As I've said before with many people, the entire healing process is no longer based on, oh, I got to feel that pain to really understand it. No, that's not true. You can just release that pain and let it go and surrender it, and you don't ever have to experience it again. And it's so much easier now to do that. So I just really felt strongly that I wanted to, you know, remind everybody that we are really, we've gotten through really literally the toughest of years. We've made it through some of the most difficult, intense battles. And I have heard from at least three or four different people in the last week who do a lot of light warrior work that they have definitely noticed a decrease of the very dark, warlike beings on the astral plane and in the other dimensions. They have all said that without even knowing each other. So that's a good sign, guys, okay? Because we've all heard that the astral plane is just filled with all kinds of nasty stuff. But the clearing has begun. And we're getting assistance from all over the place. You know, the galactics are helping us. There are so many beings of light that are really helping us, but they can't do it for us. We have to be the ones to create this new earth. We have to be the ones that really get vested, really invest our life and our excitement and our energy and our exuberance into how we want to create this new world. So I'm going to leave you with that. Just want to thank everybody. Again, if you do order the personalized essences and oils from me, just remember, I'm not a robot, right? So it has to be in integrity. I have to be in the right space. I'm literally working, you know, with guidance. The energies have to be right. I mean, there are certain days that I get up and I just don't feel it, okay? So you just need to be patient and recognize that the timing is divine and all is well, and you will receive it at the perfect time, okay? Anyway, that's it for now. If you're interested in the DNA services, drop me a line. You can drop me a line at alexandra@galacticconnection.com, and that's going really, really well. Very impressed with the results from that. And the fact that I'm starting to see a lot of details as to what's been done to us, you know, as far as the chemtrailing and the types of viruses that we're all being exposed to. I mean, things like yellow fever. Hello? what was one that I ran into? Gosh. There's one from ancient times, and I can't remember what it is. But anyway, I even ran into leprosy the other day. I mean, how bizarre is that? So anyway, thanks for putting up with my rambling on. Stay tuned. I will be bringing on John Rappaport momentarily. And as always, I love you guys with all my heart and soul. And I hope all is well. Hi, everyone. This is Alexandra Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and I am here today to bring forth who I consider to be an honor to interview, by the way, and that would be John Rappaport. This recording is pre-recorded for the date of October 27th, 2015. And as many of you know, you've probably followed John's work a great deal on the internet for alternative news. John is an author of three amazing series, The Matrix Revealed, Exit from the Matrix, and Power Outside the Matrix. Wow, that alone is very powerful. He has also written a multitude of articles on politics, health, media, culture, art, and they have shown up in a lot of very high-profile articles, newspapers, magazines, LA Weekly, Spin Magazine, etc. He is also a lecturer and a painter. That's pretty cool, John. And he was submitted for a Pulitzer Prize. In 1996, he started the Great Boycott, which was against 8 corporate chemical giants. Now, this really got my attention. Monsanto, Dow, DuPont, Bayer, Horst, Rohn, I don't know how to say this, Pulenk, Imperial Chemical Industries, and Ciba Geigy. And the boycott continues to this day. So please, everyone, please welcome John. And while you're listening, you may want to tap into his website, which is nomorefakenews.com. And I only have an hour with him today, and I had so much stuff for you, John. But the first thing right out the gate is there is just an immense amount of news coming out where the tide is turning as far as the power struggle. It looks as if the Pentagon and the U.S. military are really stepping up and supposedly defending the U.S. and the citizenry. I'd be really curious to see how you see that through your lens, because you're such an amazing writer and you're always, always have your finger on the pulse of what's really going on behind closed doors.
Well, as we know, there's a tremendous conflict going on now in Syria. Yes. So that's the focal point. We have Correct. The Russians moving in, and we have the Americans whose policy, official government policy, is so muddled and confused that most of the time they don't seem to even know what they're talking about, because ISIS was a synthetic creation, really, armed, helped, assisted, funded through U.S. money, as well as other monies. And then you have groups like Al-Qaeda and other so-called terrorist groups. And then you have the good rebels, in heavy quotes, that are fighting against President Assad in Syria. And so the U.S. is now trying to devise a scheme to discredit Russia, to move it out of Syria, to essentially destabilize Syria. I mean, these
Which
are the
efforts. Successfully done.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So what we're seeing in Middle East and parts of North Africa are tremendous efforts to destabilize these countries and to make them over eventually in a globalist image of a region. Yes, this region is now called and it's basically under the control of this multinational government and so forth and so on. This is the globalist push. It's been around for a long time. And the whole idea is to eliminate the sovereignty of nations, to erase the concept of the individual as existing at all, and to install a global management system for the entire planet, somewhat along the lines of the European Union, which would put all nations' independence and sovereignty on the shelf and create a de facto global government. So what we're looking at in this microcosm of the conflict between Russia and the United States government right now is who's on whose side, who's going where. Russia and China have been two of the major holdouts, you might say, in the globalist scheme of things. They're not entirely holdouts by any means, but if you're looking for major powers that are reluctant, shall we say, to join in the globalist march, those are two that you would definitely look toward. And so elite globalists are doing everything in their power to reshape those major powers, to bring them into the club, so to speak, to show them that they need to be part of this international framework, and if they're not, it's going to be big trouble for them down the road. So that's kind of an overview of what's going on here at that political level.
I was going to ask you, how do you see BRICS fitting into all this, considering two of the top nations of BRICS are China and Russia? And there's been a lot of controversy, so to speak, that, you know, China supposedly had the stock market plummet. Russia's had quite a few issues with, obviously, the Ukraine situation, monetary situation, et cetera. Do you see that playing any kind of role in how long Russia can actually, you know, show their muscles in Syria to really get the job done?
I think we should rather look at just Russia and China as opposed to the BRICS, because the BRICS without Russia and China really don't amount to anything. Mm-hmm. So this apparent coalition is not really powerful as an all-embracing entity. It's Russia and it's China, and that's what's happening. And yes, there's a monetary currency war going on, and so on and so forth, although the U.S. dollar is not as weak as a lot of people want to say it is, because it is still has a tremendously long history and tradition of being the oil reserve currency and the major currency of the planet, and it just doesn't disappear overnight. This is not something that we're going to wake up on, you know, next Tuesday and all of a sudden, you know, we're all on some kind of, electronic planetary money system. You know, it's not going to happen like that. Although, I must say, we're already, to a large extent, on an electronic money system. Credit cards, bank accounts, you know, transfers of huge amounts of money between banks and so forth. It goes on all the time. Stock market and other investment market processes, they're all on electronic. That's all digital. That's all happening now. So already we're seeing a gigantic revolution toward a cashless society, in the sense that fewer and fewer people are walking around with a lot of paper money in their pockets, aside from drug traffickers. So it's already going on. The question is, who's going to run it? And nobody has overthrown the Federal Reserve yet. The Federal Reserve is still a major, major power, as well as other banks like Goldman Sachs, in determining, you know, the future of money and what's going to happen to it on the planet.
Well, I'm sure you've read that there's a radical shift, supposedly, on the Federal Reserve website, and that it's not federalreserve.org anymore, it's federalreserve.com. When you go up there, all it talks about is the board for the Federal Reserve. And that there's supposedly been a radical shift because the Chinese took over the payment system and moved off of the SWIFT system. Do you know anything about
that? Well, I mean, I've heard stories about this. I wouldn't be prepared to say, oh, yes, you know, we have already seen a revolution inside the core of the Federal Reserve System, and it's all different now, and China is taking over, et cetera, et cetera. I would have to see a lot more evidence before I'd be willing to say that that's actually happening. I mean, there are always efforts in this direction, because a lot of countries are chafing under the idea that they have to deal in the U.S. dollar. They don't like it. They haven't liked it for a long time. So there are always efforts to do things and change it and so forth and so on. And pressures are applied, and but then counter pressures. The Chinese can say to the United States, you know, we're holding a tremendous amount of bonds. We're holding U.S. debt. And if we start to liquidate too much of that or try to, horrendous things can happen. At which point the Federal Reserve comes back and says, yes, but do you really think that you, China, are going to be outside the orbit of all those effects that are going to cascade down, and it's just going to be the U.S. that has major serious problems? I mean, people have to understand that part of the globalist takeover of the planet is making so many processes interdependent that you can't unentangle them with anything like the current system that we have. Some A falls, B falls. Mm. This domino goes down, that domino goes down. And that's intentional, to maintain this very artificial synthetic reality that's been created in order to stop just the kind of thing that we're talking about, where suddenly one nation gets up on its hind legs and says, we're going to wipe out everything about this system and install a new system right now. Well, wait a minute now. You're connected too. You're not standing on Mars looking down on Earth and saying, we're out of the game and we can change the game. You're involved with trade, with money, with medical, energy. You know, you have to exist too, and you can't just pull out. And you understand that. Everybody understands that. But they still jockey around. And yes, China and Russia, if you had to name two powers that are, let's say, less embroiled than everybody else, yeah, you would name them. But they're still hooked in. This is a diabolical system that's been put together, you know, escalating since the end of World War II.
Yeah.
At the end of World War II, the thesis was, okay, we're going to have a new planet now. And this new planet is going to be based on mega corporations that owe no allegiance to any country and banks. That's the way this world is going to function. The mega corporations are going to be the leading edge into areas of the world where there are vast resources, fertile land, cheap labor, as a way of an economic takeover. And they will be supported by intelligence agencies and military and so forth and so on. But the real takeover is going to be economic. That's what's going to happen now that that war is over, and we are now going to build in that direction. And these corporations are all going to be linked together, the biggest of them. People sitting on each other's boards. Banks are going to get involved, of course. Banks are going to have part ownership of these corporations through investments and so on. We're going to build this mega colossus, you see, that will be so huge that nobody would even think of trying to really overthrow it because, as I said, so many dominoes would go down at the same time. Now, I'm not one of those people who feels like nothing can be done. But at the same time, I urge people to understand the interdependent construction of this whole thing. You know, it's not like you can pull out one pin and then stand back and say, okay, now I'll pull out another one and so on. There are ripple effects all over the place that happen when you try to, you know, shake the foundations. These people, the Rockefeller-type globalists, are smart people. They knew what they were building. And all these trade deals that have happened since 1945, which, by the way, was when the World Trade Organization, the kernel of it, was formed, was in 1945. That's when the negotiations really began. They were called GATT, and eventually they ended up in the 1990s being the World Trade Organization. All of this was laying the foundation for mega corporations and financing institutions to roam the planet like predators, take everything they wanted, go in, go out at their will, put their money in, pull it out, no problem, and at the same time, be free from tariffs, because that was the main obstacle. For example, a textile firm in Japan in the 1970s decides to export textiles to the United States. And the tariffs have been reduced and reduced and reduced in the United States so that these goods can get into America without paying any extra fees or whatever you want to call them, taxes. They're actually called tariffs. What happens? Textile industry in America is just leveled, destroyed. But none of those textile companies are really the mega colossus corporations. So the globalists don't care. Who cares? Doesn't matter. So this has been NAFTA, CAFTA, GATT, the World Trade Organization, the TPP, which is the latest trade treaty coming to fruition.
I was going to ask you about next. Yeah.
They're all part of the same framework, which is to liberate corporations from any responsibility whatsoever so that they can plunder the planet and make enormous profits from it.
I noticed, John, they just passed something on the 5th of October. Supposedly approving the moving forward of the agreement, the TPP. Yeah, program.
That's right. The 12 nations that are responsible for 40% of the global GDP assets, so this is gigantic, have now all agreed on the wording of the treaty.
And that now wasn't that leaked?
That wasn't leaked, but some of the material that's in the treaty was leaked, the intellectual property section and so forth, because up until then, you know, total secrecy. I mean, if you were a congressman, you had to go downstairs in the building into a sealed room where you would only be able to read notes and partial summaries and provisional chapters. And then when you came out of the room, you were forbidden under federal law to discuss it with anybody, to mention what you had read, not to the press, not to the public, nobody, right? And this is still in effect. I mean, this is just total insanity. So when this was made known, let's call it 18 months ago or so, people began to say, wait a minute, what's in this thing? And Obama has just been sitting there saying, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. It's not a problem. The treaty's a good treaty. And now the Congress has to vote on it, which could be coming up as early as December or the beginning of next year, as to whether or not to ratify the treaty, at which point Obama will sign it. So this is, you know, what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with extreme secrecy and planning to have these mega corporations like Monsanto, like Dow, like DuPont, roam the world and do whatever they want, basically, and make as much money as they want. But I want to point out one thing, and this is where there is, you know, in a sense, a real glint of light here.
Good.
And this is the strangeness of the whole thing. And this is what I think some people who see, you know, hope coming in and radical changes and so forth, they should look at this. Because this is hard stuff, you know.
Good.
There is an internal contradiction in the whole globalist scheme to take over the planet. And here's where it happens. The rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer everywhere.
Yeah, very true.
What this means is that these mega corporations, which are, as I said, the leading edge in taking over the planet, are losing their consumer base globally.
Mm.
there are perhaps only 1.6 billion people out of 7 or 8 billion on the planet who can participate in the marketplace, buy, sell, with any kind of, real money. Therefore, this whole thing is heading toward a collision of opposites. On the one hand, the globalists are saying to themselves, oh, this is going wonderfully, we're taking over the planet, all these corporations are just, you know, going to mangle everybody, and the banks are going to control the whole money system, and we're in charge. Wait a minute. These corporations exist to sell products and make profit. And if their consumer base begins to collapse, they're going to, and they're already beginning to see this, they're saying, what's going on here? Why is this happening? Well, what's the answer to that? Like, look at America, for example. America has exported millions of jobs out of the country so that these corporations could set themselves up with factories in distant lands where you've got slave labor and no environmental regulations, and you can produce goods for pennies on the dollar that it would cost you in the United States. What's that done to America? You know, it's crippled and half destroyed the economy of America, which means less people in America can buy stuff.
And John, even the stuff they can buy, like, you know, cell phone service that they have to have to function maybe with their job, or, they have to purchase, here would be San Diego Gas and Electric, you know, for that kind of thing. Even that is precariously being threatened, first of all, by the release of free energy, but secondly, these people that you're talking about, which is the majority of those that the poor are becoming poorer, they're not able to pay their bills on time, which is also a cost.
So how are they going to buy the stuff that these corporations
exactly.
are making? So now the corporations turn around and they look at these elite globalists and they say, wait a minute, we thought this was going to be a utopia for us, you know, a criminal utopia. But now we see that the very things that you're enabling us to do are destroying our consumer base in industrialized countries, which are losing jobs by the millions that are going into all sorts of distant lands. And so people can't buy our stuff. So hold on a minute, see. So what I think is beginning to happen here, and I'm not certainly playing up any of these mega corporations as, quote, the good guys, but nevertheless, they're beginning to see the light. They're beginning to see that they've been betrayed all along, because this, to any intelligent analyst, 15, 20 years ago was quite obvious as to what was happening here, mm-hmm. about the consumer base shrinking and these mega corporations going begging to find enough consumers to buy their stuff. In fact, I'm going to say 20 years ago now, it was revealed that these industrial mega corporations, their assembly lines were only operating at half mast. They could produce at least twice as much as what they were producing, and that's as of 20 years ago when the situation was better. Why? Because there weren't enough consumers to buy the stuff they could make. These corporations could do 2, 3, 4 times as much output of their products as they're doing now. But they can't, because there's not enough people to buy them. So some of these CEOs and movers and shakers inside these corporations are beginning to realize the handwriting on the wall, that you can't destroy and destroy and destroy and destroy and expect to sell. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And they're beginning to wake up and see that they've been betrayed in this whole operation, that globalism is really an agenda that goes far beyond mega corporations. It has to do with mind control, extreme brainwashing on a planetary level, medical destruction by the medical cartel, yes. making slaves essentially of the entire global population, depopulation. All of that agenda is far above anything that the mega corporations are involved in. And they're beginning to see, wait a minute, we're pawns. in this game. We thought we were the kings and the queens, but we're just the pawns, and we don't like that.
Yeah, and I say to many people, it's really more about destroying our DNA. That's what everything ultimately gets to.
Sure.
You know?
I mean, I've done an awful lot of research on the effects of the medical cartel, which I call it the medical cartel because it is, on human life on the planet. And we're not just talking about what they like to call adverse effects of these drugs. These drugs change the operating systems of the body.
Exactly.
The endocrine outputs and levels, neurological synaptic functions of the brain, blood supply, organ function, also brain circuitry, which I think is a really big one.
Yes.
It puts brain circuits to sleep, for example. That is one major effect of the pharmaceutical industry. So that people are operating on just a tiny fraction of what they would be and actually were, so, you know, if they were alive long enough, decades ago, because the drugs are literally putting the brain to sleep. And some people are feeling the effects of that, and they don't know why. Well, that's one reason why. And that's one reason why the natural health revolution has exploded planet-wide, because more people are, even if they don't understand the details or and they can't articulate them, instinctively they know something bad is going on and they have to take responsibility for their own bodies and their own health and their own mental, you know, cognition by seeking another way, and they are. And this is one of the major positive factors happening on the planet now.
I think so too. And when you and I talked off air, one of the things we had discussed, we were on the same page with, is trying to see the glass half full through perhaps a spiritual lens. And I've looked at Syria, which, you know, as you know, what, 250,000 people have already been killed. Something like they're up to what, 11 million have been dislodged from their home. You know, 4 million are running for their lives to other countries. For safety. And I thought to myself, I always look at the macrocosm versus the microcosm, and I thought, you know, what is this really representing maybe on a more metaphysical level? And it just seems to me that this will ultimately unify the Mideastern countries, which the cabal, the ISIS, the Al-Qaeda had all worked so diligently to try to fractionalize. What do you think?
You know, there is that possibility, because when things get bad enough, people begin to drop their pretensions and their age-old rivalries and their conflicts because they see the handwriting on the wall.
Right.
Okay, we've been fighting for 6 centuries or 15 centuries, but now we're both, you know, deers in the headlights here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting run over. So do we want to just stand there and scream at each other as we both go down, you know, the tubes into destruction? Or do we want to solidify some kind of relationship and understand what the problem really is? Which takes it to a metaphysical level immediately. Because, you know, and with somebody across the table and begin to talk to them as a political leader, and you drop your mask and you're no longer talking out of a machine essence of mind, but out of actual life force,
mm-hmm.
That's now a spiritual event. All bets are off. That's not a negotiation in the traditional sense anymore. And whatever could drive people to be in that situation, as I just described, could only result in something good and beneficial for everybody. Because at that point, I'm here and you're there, and we're looking at each other. And we no longer have this, what I would what is really a kind of thought form, energy construct that is driving both of us to hate each other. We're not dealing the deck from that any longer. Those cards are not coming from that place anymore. Because of necessity, we are now looking at each other in a new way. Being to being. That, you know, that could be monumental.
Huge. And it's well needed for sure. And I'm wondering too what your opinion is about Putin, because he has really taken such a strong stance, in actually coming out and outing the involvement of the United States and the military with ISIS, etc. And everybody that I know that follows alternative news just kind of says, well, he's a political leader too. You know, how do we trust him, even though it's looking as if that would be a benefit to bring forth the truth for the world? What do you think?
Well, they're right to say, why should we trust him? But the thing about Putin is he has an agenda that has to do with Russia and survival. And he knows what that agenda is. And he is forthright and direct enough to lay it on the table. Not to say, no, what I'm really seeking is the, you know, cosmic blah, blah, blah of all. You know, he's not presenting himself as a messiah the way Obama did. Right. And the way Obama was constructed to be that figure for that moment in time, that people would rally around thinking that they had found the leader they were finally looking for, who was going to take everybody to another level. I'm sorry, but that was a con. That was a con from the beginning. That was a scam. That was an operation, really, in the sense of a intelligence operation, covert op of large proportion. Putin, on the other hand, is not dealing from that deck. So therefore, he can be approached directly if you know what it is that he wants and you're willing to discuss it with him face to face. Now, that isn't, what I would call the ultimate step for humankind, but it's a major step in the right direction.
Sure, especially for a politician.
Yeah. So, for example, you say to Putin, okay, here, I know you want higher oil prices, right? Because you're an oil-based economy. You're selling huge amounts of oil. And you're really hurting because the price of oil has been kept low, 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 low. That's all artificial, just like money, you know, it's worth this, it's worth that. It's the same kind of a deal. This has nothing to do with reality. It's all manipulation. Okay, so you want a higher price for oil, right? He says, absolutely, of course. Now you have something to talk about. What can we do together to make that happen for you while at the same time not crippling everybody else with prices that are so high that everything grinds to a halt? Why, you know, so because we're talking about oil, a lot of people will say, well, what about the suppressed, you know, energy technologies that exist? I'm well aware of that, but we're talking politicians here, so we have to be talking on their level. He wants respect for Russia, respect for himself, and he also wants a certain amount of stability in his area of the world geographically. He doesn't want all crazy fighting and revolutions. And I'm not talking about real revolutions, but just crazy revolutions that are going to do nothing but sow more chaos in the surrounding republics. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want it in Syria. He doesn't want it in any of those places. That's something you can talk to him, the man, about. And he's going to be forthright if he thinks you're forthright. So he's approachable is what I would say. Okay, he is approachable by someone who's intelligent and who's not trying to lie all the time. you can sit down with that guy and you can talk.
That's interesting. Well, how do you see the head of China in all of that? Same situation or not?
Not quite, no. But that doesn't mean that it couldn't happen. Mm-hmm. You know, if it could happen with Russia, that would be a big step toward making it happen with China, put it that way. The Chinese long ago made up their minds that America was a hostile force and that by any and all means it should be minimized in terms of its power. And it's been following that course through exceedingly clever means on many different fronts. All that machinery is in progress. But at the same time, trade partners, lots of goods flow back and forth, all sorts of things are happening in that respect. And China's economy, beyond the pretense, has some very serious heavy weaknesses that it leaders are aware of and they want to remedy. So they can be approached on that vector, right? There are ways to talk to these people, okay? But you have to understand who they are and what they want instead of either pushing American empire over the entire planet or globalist control of the entire world. If you're talking plain down to earth terms, you know, it would be like in the neighborhood if there was an empty lot and kids wanted to play on it and parents began to get in an argument about that and whether they should and when they could and whose lot is it and what's going to happen if somebody gets hurt and blah, blah, blah. And the whole thing can get blown up to the point where nobody can figure out what's going on. And everybody's now got, you know, anger, hostility, resentment, agendas, and looking at everybody else as paranoid would. Or you can try to disable that and say, okay, let's get down to the basics here. Whose lot is this? Who owns it? Is it one of you in the neighborhood? Is it the city? Is it some insurance company or a bank? Or what are we going to do here? You know, let's just, we want to figure this out. And some people are going to come forward and actually be the kind of people you can talk to. Once you start that process, other people begin to wake up. Not all at once, but they begin to wake up. And I think that a leader, a political leader in America, could operate in those terms with these giants. That would be rolling back some of the globalism that we see happening in the world. It would be a good first step.
Big time. So do you have any suggestions for the audience on how they should filter the information that they're reading each day from the standpoint, you know, I'm always suggesting that they try to be an observer, don't get too attached to the information. You know, don't get polarized because so much of the information out there can be very polarized. But going beyond that, are there any suggestions that you could provide as far as what to look for in an article that is either like a red flag or you know, how to filter the information and so on, so forth?
Well, I come from a place as a reporter for 30 years,
yeah,
automatically assuming that major media are themselves a red flag, by the way. You know, so that's the first red flag. Am I reading the New York Times? Okay, that's a red flag in itself, regardless of what article you're reading or who's saying what, you know, because these people are in the business of, okay, here's the way I look at it. It's all about the invention or the creation of reality.
Very good.
The news is a reality, a concocted reality, basically. That's not to say it's all lies all the time, but the motivating force behind it is the invention of a pretended reality, which becomes a real reality if people buy in, if they perceive what they're reading or watching or whatever. And that is the major purpose of major media, is to sell that reality. It's art. It's like a movie. It's like a painting. It's like a stage play. You walk into a theater and you sit down. Every student who's ever studied drama is told right at the beginning that there is this phrase called the suspension of disbelief. This is what the audience experiences in the theater when it's watching a play on stage. It suspends its disbelief in what's happening. For the moment, it believes, if the actors are good enough and the play is good enough, you believe in what you're seeing and hearing. Otherwise, you would get up and walk out. So the media are doing the same thing, major media. They are creating this reality. It's a stage play, and you are the audience. Now, how do they get you to suspend your disbelief, or to put it more simply, how do they get you to buy this reality? Well, one of the ways is they introduce you to important people. Here is a general that we spoke with, and he said, the president said, Congressman so-and-so said, professor of neurology and neuropsychiatry at such-and-so hospital said. So they parade out many, many people who are helping them to create this art form called media reality. Now, it isn't as if everybody's sitting around a table saying, what are we going to lie about today? How are we going to, you know, paint the picture so that people see a perspective when there really isn't any perspective, you know, the way a painter can make you see it? They aren't having discussions about that. They're inside it. They accept it. They, to one degree or another, believe in it. They have been indoctrinated to such a degree, and their lives and careers depend on it to such a degree that they become programmed and they don't even think about it. So, for example, as I've done many times in my work, a new epidemic is announced that is threatening the entire planet. And I know that they're painting false reality because I've been through this with every epidemic since 1987. I know how they do it. I know how they put one brick on top of another. Now they're going to say that, yes. Now they're going to insist on this, yes. Now they're going to warn everybody. Now here comes the vaccine and the drug, and here's the number of deaths that they're lying about. Here's where it started, they claim. You know, I mean, I've been through this so many times that it's like, okay, so this is that movie again. This is that play again.
It's that calculated, huh?
Yeah. But the people who are doing it, you see, and here's where some people find it hard to accept, because we're not like those people.
Sure. You know,
those people can buy into a calculated reality and then develop amnesia about the fact that they bought it. For their own motives, career, prestige, money, fear, you know, all those kinds of obvious reasons. They become the foot soldiers, the pawns, the lieutenants, the selling this reality. And if you approach them and said, I mean, you know, just between you and me off the record, I mean, do you really believe all this? Absolutely. They are inside themselves, in their psyche, they are fractured. That's what you have to know. You're dealing with a person whose consciousness is fractured, and they're talking to you from one space inside that consciousness, and that's where they live. And the rest of it, they, you know, is buried as deeply as possible. It's buried.
Wow.
That's how they can exist that way, right? Now, I've had occasion where that went away. I mean, revealing moments, interviewing people off the record, where they felt so much, you know, pressure like a steam boiler over the years, that when they looked at me and they knew that I wasn't going to blow the whistle on them, I was just talking to them. I was present in the moment with no particular agenda. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a cop. I wasn't the FBI. I wasn't going to print what they said, and I could listen. They opened up. All of a sudden, they're not talking from just that place in their consciousness anymore. They're showing the other places. They want to show other places. They're dying because they can't, because they have divided themselves into these fragments. And then they say the truth. Well, we never really found the virus. Oh, really? Yeah, we said we discovered the virus was the cause of the disease, but really, we were never sure about that. I mean, and then they would say, you know, viruses are not, it's not like taking a tweezer and dipping it into liquid and coming up with a, this is very complicated. This is, we're talking about tiny things here. And all the procedures and processes that we've developed that we say are scientific in order to isolate a virus and say it's this virus, it's shaky stuff. It's not solid. We're not on solid ground here. Then they begin to open up, and then the river starts to flow, and they begin to say everything that they really know that they've kept hidden, right? And that's been very instructive for me, because it showed me that essentially all these foot soldiers and lieutenants who are helping to build the media reality are that way. They have this role, you could say, in the stage play. They know what their role is. They've been cast in it. They've accepted it. It gives them benefits, and they've blocked everything else out. But once in a while, they show it to you. They let you know what's really happening.
What a gift, Sean, you know, and especially for you to be able to have access to that type of information all the way back from 1987.
That's when it really started.
And that's when the harmonic convergence went down, right?
I was aware at that time that there were certain currents, let's say, flowing, that were beginning to provide an opportunity for people to open up if they wanted to. And the reason I think that so many of these predictions about what I fundamentally think of as energy, one way or another, when people say this is coming, that's going to happen, they're talking about something that's happening with energy and the changes that are taking place in energy, such as, you know, you had a huge curtain of energy that is now parting, you know,
exactly.
And here we are, right?
Exactly.
The reason that so many of these people who either predict this or see it get discouraged is because the opening takes a great deal of time. The time factor is the confusion there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you could open up the entirety of cosmic reality tomorrow in Encinitas, California, and put it out there on the street for anybody to see the totality of, and all but a few people would never even notice it and just simply walk away from it or through it or inside it. And I mean, you just wouldn't see it. So the opening was there, but that's the opportunity. It takes time. And if you don't see that, you can become depressed, discouraged, confused, and all of that. And I saw that in 1987 when I started talking to people. Okay, he's opening up now. I'm just going to shut up and let him keep going here. And bit by bit, person by person that I interviewed, and because this was a medical book that I was writing called AIDS Inc., which was about fraudulent, deep fraudulent basic research into viruses. That's what it got into. Because that was the subject, it took time. Mm-hmm. And some people would take one step up with me and three steps back. You know, they wanted to open up, but, you know, on the ground in this world, things are pretty locked up for a lot of people.
And this is a misfortune of the instantaneous gratification society.
You got it. You got it.
It's unfortunate because at this time, things are really happening, I feel. I mean, everywhere I look, there are some incredible progressions of truth and light being exposed. I mean, it's like almost on an hourly basis now. But when people are really vested or attached to some particular one item, one event, and that's all they're focusing on, you know, it reminds me of this card where they're so focused on that they can't see all the blessings that are around them.
Sure.
You know?
Right. Absolutely. So, and to put another piece on this, if a person is out of touch with their own imagination, they've dropped it. You know, well, when I was a child, sure, but now I'm a responsible adult, whatever. Or they just have lost it. You know, like I lost my car keys. They don't know what happened to it. Yeah, I used to imagine things all the time that were more real than real. Or when people don't understand that their own dreams at night when they're asleep also involve imagination. And you wake up in the morning and you say, well, all I can tell you is that dream was more real than me sitting here on the edge of the bed looking at the wall now. Way more real. Right? Now, does that have something to do with the person's own creative capacity, imagination? You bet.
Yes.
Okay, so when people lose track of that, which is another subject that I write a great deal about and that's involved in my Matrix collections, when they, you know, how to bring that back to the fullest, how to bring back that creative power and that imagination to the fullest. Well, when people lose track of that, then you can give them the entire, you know, here's all of reality on Main Street. I'm going to reveal it all at noon, and they won't see it because part of seeing is having imagination. They're not two distinct and totally separate things. Mm-hmm. Perception is not entirely divorced from imagination. If you took away somebody's imagination, they would go blind completely because, you know, sitting here just right now looking out my window and it's a little drizzly and there are the leaves on a vine and the fence and everything, I can tell myself, I'm just looking at what's there. But that isn't really true. My imagination is also working. It's doing something with the colors and whatever. And that is making it more vivid and clear. Well, that's happening all the time to people in life. And if they aren't aware of it and they have no connection to their imagination, then they're not going to be able to see behind these false works of art, these false realities that have been created for them.
You know, I just have to say something because this was in my notes as well, and that is you were just addressing that the information that's being put out there is something where, you know, you're looking at a piece of art, right? And you were talking about this is a false reality or it's their created reality. But how do you feel about the fact that because we are creators ourselves, are we not basically going right into what they wanted in the first place, which is creating the reality that they're presenting forward that is they claim is created, but it never was created. But actually, because we bought into it, we ended up creating it.
Absolutely. No question about
now,
it. And that's the giant joke, the joke of jokes, you know, is that without I go to a museum and I look at a painting. Well, I'm not really seeing the painting unless I'm also involved in my imagination with it, which you could say means that I am creating the painting that's already been created there on the wall. You know, if I'm not doing that, then, you know, I'm going to have a very boring, unpleasant experience, and I'm going to walk out. I'm going to say that was nothing. You know, same with food, same with life, same with everything, you know. But here's where the tide turns. If the person understands what we're talking about here, and they say, okay, so now I'm going to be a conscious artist. I'm going to invent the reality that I most profoundly want.
Exactly.
Okay? If they take that step, right, and then, of course, they have to decide what is the most profound, you know, reality that I want. What are my most deep desires, really?
Right.
You know, but when they come to that and they say, all right, so now I am an artist of reality. I am going to invent my most profound reality that I want to invent. When that bridge is crossed, when that switch over happens, then that person is now really becoming immune to buying the other realities that are being created for us. It's kind of like, yeah, you can see them more clearly, in fact, now. I mean, that's a bonus. That's what I discovered, because in 1962, when I began to paint based on nothing, really. I mean, I saw an artist in the studio. I looked at what he was doing. I said, I have to do that.
Wow.
And I, all of a sudden, you know, a guy I ran into, I'm leaving for the summer, I live in a big studio off of Fifth Avenue in New York, and nobody's taking it, what am I going to do? And I said, well, I have no money, but I could pay you this for it. And he said, it's yours, here's the key, I'll be back in 2 months. Walked into the studio, paints, brushes, canvas, paper, everything there. So when I started to paint that summer, everything changed for me. My whole life changed. No discernible talent, no background, no training. Teachers would say to my mother, maybe we should take him out of the art class because he really is just not doing anything. And, you know. But all of a sudden, this is what I most profoundly wanted to do.
Awesome.
So that was the reality that I created 10, 12, 14 hours a day. I would start painting in the morning and look up outside. It was night out. How did that happen? You know? I would walk out on the street, everything was different. My yeah. friendships were different. My family relationships were different. Everything was different, right? Whole new life.
You know, you also touched upon the fact that I think a lot of people really truly feel that what they are and what they do and how they think is separate from this reality that's being presented to them.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right, and yet they're buying it. You know, it's kind of like saying, well, I hate television, but I have 6 televisions in my house.
Right.
You know, it's a similar kind of a thing. I don't accept this and that, but yet on some level they do.
Right.
Well, why is that? Well, for one thing, to me, it's because they don't recognize that they themselves are artists of reality, that they have that creative force, that power, imagination, creation. They are a creator. Hey, if you can't see that, if you don't want to see that, if you refuse to see that, all of those kinds of things, then you're going to be confronted with all of the art that is being created for you, you know, AKA known as reality. You know, here it is, right? That's what you're going to be left with. So you can say, I don't accept it, I don't like it, I hate it, whatever you want to say, but you will accept it on some level because the way things are, you know, the way things really are, if you are not creating your own reality, you are accepting the reality that's being invented for you. There's just, I mean, that's the way it is. You can try to, you know, tap dance your way around that, but it's not going to work.
Such a good
so that's the way to go.
Well, I know you're on a tight schedule today, and we have about 3 minutes till 2 o'clock. Will you give me another time where I can ask you some a load of questions that I put together for you?
Please, let's
okay,
do it.
Okay, good. Good.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I want to thank you, though. You know, and as John says, please, please remember, we need you to create your reality, not theirs. We really need to be more cognizant of the thoughts that we're choosing. The light is so accelerated right now that we're all in this. I mean, I'm finding it, too. I'm manifesting things like lickety-split. So we have to be very conscientious about what we're thinking and what we want for this planet, not what they want.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, John, thank you. You're awesome. I mean, I think I got turned on to you when I was doing some vaccination research.
Right.
This is a couple years ago, and I stumbled upon you, and I started blogging you all the time. And, you know, I can't say enough good things about your articles and your articulation and just the fact that you're able to present this stuff but have that spiritual intertwining, being able to see just some of the grace that comes about from this situation, if we can find that.
Sure.
You know?
I mean, without the spiritual component, it's not even worth trying to make sense out of the whole thing.
Absolutely.
Right. Thank you so much. This has been a great conversation.
Yeah, thank you, John. You take care, and we will talk to you soon.
It's a deal.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
Bye.